in our study of Jeremiah, we are seeing the people of Israel, Jerusalem, Judah. We're seeing those people going through a downward movement, having rejected any warning, rejecting the warnings, rejecting the everything that it would tell them change and fix things. And they aren't doing that. That's a whole society, if you would. Jeremiah lives in the middle of that society. Jeremiah understands God's wonderful purpose and plan. He exercises God's wonderful presence, and he does that. But after all, each year that goes by, it's a very draining time. And in our study of chapter 15 of Jeremiah, you have about 30 years, 30 approximately, that he's been dealing with this. So it's a long time. And day in and day out, and each year it gets worse, not better. And thus it's very draining. And everyone that's human is born into such a world. No matter where you're born, no matter where you live, North America, South America, Europe, doesn't make any difference. You're born into this world, and you're born into it in sin. That means you're going to have all the consequences that come from the absence of God. When God is missing, good is missing. And things aren't going good. Think of all the countries, if you want to examine them and study them, and they have what they do and their cultures and their backgrounds, they have them. But we have a wonderful, comparatively in many ways, over other countries, though it is being fought to have Constitution, Declaration, and those benefits. We're being inundated to hopefully, they're trying to destroy that. You realize that. They're trying to destroy it. And so the system is going to have to try to overcome all of the effort to bring us back in the wrong direction. And it's the way it is. And part of that, dear friend, is because of our human nature. And we don't want to have to consider fixing something, trying to get it straighter, better. That is not usually very accepted by us. We don't want to fix that thing. We think of your personal lives, our lives. And if you really were to sit down and examine them objectively, you would see a whole lot of things that just it would be good to fix, from the smallest to bigger things. And we don't mind trying to see a little bit and fix a little bit, but to really have a dynamic change, that isn't popular for anybody. You just don't want to do it. It's too demanding and too unknown to us. So now, here's Jeremiah, and all I'm trying to do is help you to see that as we examine these things that God has given us purposely in his word so that we might understand. He's given them to us so that we can understand. We aren't living back there in the days of Moses. We aren't living there in the days of Jeremiah. We aren't living in the days of the Apostle Paul. But all of those wonderful accounts God has given in his word so that we know. So we aren't guessing. We aren't trying to feel and hope. We have some solid ground to move on. Thus, Exodus 32. You recall, with Moses, they had made a golden calf, etc. And things, it was going downhill. They wanted to go back to Egypt. They wanted the golden calf to be their leader, their god, to get them back to Egypt, etc. Now, in doing so, the system rebelled, like they're doing today, rebelled. Therefore, chapter 32, verse 26. Then I'll read verse 25. And when Moses saw that the people were naked, for Aaron had made them naked unto their shame among their enemies, then Moses stood in the gate of the camp and said, "Who is on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me." And all the sons of Levi gathered themselves together unto him. And he said unto them, "Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, put every man his sword by his side, and go in and out from the gate to gate throughout the camp, and slay every man his brother, and every man his companion, and every man his neighbor." And the children of Levi did according to the word of Moses, and there fell of the people that day about 3,000 men died. So that's quite a bit. And they went up and down, and it didn't matter who they knew or who they were. If they were wrong, they got clipped. Now, who was on the Lord's side? That's very important. There is no neutral ground. There's no middle ground. Like the people think there's middle ground. There isn't any. You're either for or against, period. That's all. And so either we're in or we're out. Now, having said that, back over to Jeremiah. And Jeremiah in chapter 15. And you will note in chapter 15 of Jeremiah. And I'm going to read verse 19 quickly, but to get it. "Therefore thus saith the Lord, if thou return, then will I bring thee again. And thou shalt stand before me, and if thou take forth the precious from the vile, the good." I want you to have good words in your head and heart, and not bad ones. God, I want you to honor me, not dishonor me. "And thou shalt be as my mouth, let them return unto thee, but return now not unto them." So remember the two conditions. If you return, then I will return. You turn to me, Jeremiah, and get your act right, and I'll return to you and bless you, as it were. All the word, verb, turn. And then you go, if thou take forth the precious from the vile, and you're going to get back into the business of thinking and doing and saying right things and not wrong things, then thou shalt be as my mouth. And the third thing, then, we just read, who's on the Lord's side? Let them return unto thee, but return not unto them. In other words, let them, they need to fix it. God isn't neat. God doesn't need to fix anything. It's humans. So it isn't God. So we don't say, "God, turn around and come in our direction and help us." Nope, 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 nope. You don't do that. And God says, "Do not, Jeremiah, do not go. Let them return unto thee, come in your direction, Jeremiah, and don't you return unto them." Don't you try to think their thoughts and follow their reasoning. Don't do it. And that's the danger we have in the politics and everything. Well, maybe you're right, and maybe this, and maybe that. And that's not the way to go. So, who was on the Lord's side? They had Jeremiah, "You have to stand. Are you with me or against me?" That's simple as that. And if you're going to stand with me and not complain and moan and groan, then you're going to finish your assignment. Now, having said that little bit, now we're ready to go to verse 20. We took a little time getting there, but we want to get the imprint, the impress on our heart of what was happening, because Jeremiah got drained, depleted, he lost it, essentially, and he needed to get it back, and God stopped him, as we shared in verse 19. Jeremiah was going on and on with his conversation in his mind. God stopped him and rebuked him and said, "Fix this." And God, that was gracious of God to do that. Now, so when we come, God, after you got that Jeremiah's attention and Jeremiah's heart, now, verse 20, Now, God, you do a wonderful thing. You go and encourage, you re-encourage Jeremiah in a wonderful way. And in verse 20, you have, "And I will make thee unto this people a fence, brazen wall," etc. And all of the wonderful words in verse 20 and verse 21. Now, and he's going to encourage him. Now, 30 years ago, approximately, he said this to him when he started. When you come to know the Lord as your Savior, you understand, or else you didn't get saved. When you understand the Lord as your Savior, you understand that He is the only God, the only Savior, the only Lord. You understand that. There's no choosing between Zeus and something else. Nope. God is God. And you needed forgiveness of sin, and you came to God and He forgave you. And you understand that then that your God has brought you into a relationship, a child, a son, a family member, and now you have to change, which is why many people didn't get saved. They don't get saved. It used to be they understood that much. They don't anymore, that you had to change. Today, you don't have to change. You just join the club, and that's what you do. But years ago, that's why people didn't turn to Christ. They knew they had to change, and they didn't want to do that. They wanted to stay like they were. Now, when you have that, you have to change. God meant you. When you go from rags to riches, you don't go back to rags. The rags are gone. No more rags. All riches. No more outside. You're inside the house. No more. It's all over. It's a change, wonderful change. Now, having said that a little bit, I want to go back, if I may, back to Jeremiah, if I can, in Jeremiah chapter 1, and to pick up, I want to rehearse for you, for myself, what he was said. Oh, and I didn't mean to go that fast. God always clues you in. So when you get saved, it isn't going to be a picnic. It's no more like the world. You know it isn't like the world because we're part of the world. We think like they do and language like we do and act like they do. So when we get saved, we know it's different. No, we know that. Our Lord, when you read the Gospel of John or anything, it's God is telling you it's different now. Things are different now, and they have to be different. Who is on the Lord's side? You can't go back, Jeremiah, and be like them. God saved you from being like them. So now, back then, you told Jeremiah straight out what it was going to be like. John 13, 14, 15, 16, 17. He tells you exactly what it's going to be when you get saved. He tells you what it's going to be like. He doesn't mess around. He doesn't give you a song and a dance about something else. He tells you what it is. And you line up and say, okay. You're on the Lord's side. You can't be in the middle now. So now, I want to get the encouragement and warning and encouragement given to Jeremiah 30 years approximately before. Over in chapter 1, verse 17. Now therefore, gird up the loins and arise and speak unto them all that I command thee, and be not dismayed at their faces, lest I confound thee before them. I'm going to turn it around and send it on you, Jeremiah, if you don't do the job. So it's a very, very awesome thing, and it's very responsible. Verse 18, four. Behold, why, God, why are you so into this? Because what I'm doing for you and what I'm giving to you and what I'm making possible is an awesome thing. Not from my standpoint, said God, that's grace. From your standpoint, it's awesome what I'm doing for you. Now, so here's Jeremiah. And he's told to be careful. And in verse 18, I have made thee. I have gone and made to reach out, to hand over something to somebody, to make something happen to another. I have made thee this day a defensed city, and an iron pillar, and brazen walls against all odds. Now, that we can read that. Now, I'm interested, God. What did you just say to him, and how would he understand it? How do I need to understand it? Where are the walls? Iron pillars. God, what are you saying? Now, in thus, Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 18, he made him, Jeremiah, he said, I have made you right now. I have taken you and made you what? A defensed city. A fortified, fenced-in city. I have made you a city. That's what I did. Wow. I made you a city. Fortified city. Aha. Uh-huh. That's what I did. Now, having said that little bit, and keeping in mind, he made them a city. Now, I want to get God, I want to get it. Each time it'll come out the same, so want to see it though. Over, if you would please, in your Bible, over to Isaiah. In Isaiah chapter 60. And picking up in thought, as it says, Isaiah chapter 60. Getting the idea of it, wonderful section. In the millennial God, when you're going to reign and rule and you build the kingdom and all that, the temple, I'm going to start in verse 12. For the nation and kingdom that will not serve thee shall perish. In other words, he's making it clear, Israel, all the nations of the world are going to serve you. And if they don't serve you, they are in trouble. Shall perish. Yea, verse 12, those nations shall be utterly wasted. The glory of Lebanon shall come unto thee, the fir tree, the pine tree, the box, together to beautify the place of my sanctuary. The sanctuary in the millennium is going to be awesome. And I will make the place of my feet glorious. Where I am located is glorious. The sons also of them that afflict thee shall come bending unto thee, and all they that despise thee shall bow themselves down at the soles of thy feet, and they shall call thee the city of the Lord, the Zion of the Holy One of Israel. So looking into the millennium, God, that city, that's where Israel, that's where the Lord is. That's the Lord's city, and everyone's going to know that's where the Lord is. Now, hang on to that. And Daniel coming along, chapter 9. I'm going to make you a defense city. Jerusalem is my city. And when I'm there, no nation at all, if the nations at all fail, they're going to be in trouble. They got to honor me where my feet are. Now, Daniel chapter 9, picking up, please, if I may, in verse 16. Daniel, remember, in this great prayer, prophetic prayer, chapter 9, verse 16. O Lord, according to all thy righteousness, I beseech thee, let thine anger and thy fury be turned away from thy city, Jerusalem, at thy holy mountain, because of our sins and for the iniquities of our fathers, Jerusalem and thy people are become a reproach to all that are about us. Verse 17. Now therefore, O Lord, O our God, hear the prayer of thy servant and his supplications, and cause thy face to shine upon thy sanctuary that is desolate for the Lord's sake. In other words, his Jerusalem near Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar, is going to be destroyed. Verse 18, O my God, incline thine ear and hear, open thine eyes and behold thy desolations, and the city which is called by thy name. For we do not present our supplications before thee for our righteousness, no, but for thy great mercy. There again, verse 19, O Lord, hear, O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hearken and do. Defer not for thine own sake, O God, for thy city and thy people are called by thy name. So, Jeremiah, I'm going to make you a defense city. That's what you're going to be. My city. It's my place. The place of my feet. And the place of my feet is glorious. And when you have him in your heart, that's what he's to do. It's my place. You're bought with a price. You're not your own. That's my place now. Now, having said that, go back with me over to Jeremiah and chapter 15. And may I pick up, please, in verse 20. I will make unto thee, Jeremiah, unto this people. They're going to look at you, Jeremiah, and they're going to see a highly fortified city. They're going to see my city. They don't recognize it's Jerusalem is my city, the temple is my place, the place of my feet. They don't know that, but Jeremiah, you are going to be the city and the temple and the place of my feet. I am going to personally have you represent me in that place, that city Jerusalem that has been rejecting me. I'm going to put you there, and know what? No one is going to touch you. You're a fortified city. Hang on. Because of me. It's my place. The place of my feet. It's my place. Now, next thing. And, verse 20, a fenced brazen wall. Oh, no, I'm sorry. I'm in chapter 15. I need to go back to chapter 1. I'm sorry. Don't get ahead of myself. Chapter 1, Jeremiah 18. I have made thee this day a defense city and an iron pillar. I've made you an iron pillar. Now, a pillar means a column. A column. Think of columns that stand in buildings. Samson pushed over two columns when the great temple of Dagon fell. He went and pushed them over. God did that. Now, a column, standing, something that stands upright and stays upright. And you can't burn it. You can't do anything. I'm going to make you an iron pillar. I'm going to make you iron. Remember, Old Testament weapons. Weapons are of iron. Iron. What are we going to do? The enemy can come at you with all the iron they want. And when they come to you with iron, their iron weapons, they're going to find an iron man. A pillar of iron. And you're not going to do anything. Now hang on. Pillar. A pillar of iron. Now Jeremiah, did you catch that? Over if you would please. In the book of Exodus, if you would, in chapter 13. Exodus chapter 13. And if I may, going chapter 13 and in verse 21. Remember now the pillar of cloud by night. You're going to read it now. 13, Exodus 21. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar. There's your word. And of a cloud, a pillar of a cloud, to lead them the way. And by night in a pillar of fire. So the cloud became fire, a pillar, a column, to give them light to go by day and night. And he took not away the pillar of the cloud by day, nor the pillar of the fire by night from before the people. So in 40 years, they had a pillar in the middle of the camp, day and night, one of a cloud in the day and fire by night. Now, and no one, that was a big thing, the Shekinah glory coming out of the tabernacle, etc. Now, over to chapter 14. Chapter 14, verse 19. And if I may, again, and the angel of God, the pre-incarnate Christ, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them. And the pillar of the cloud went before from before their face and stood behind them. And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. Remember, they're going to cross the Red Sea. And between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel, and it was a cloud and darkness to them, but it gave light by night to these, so that one came not near the other all that night. In other words, same cloud, same fire. All one saw was darkness, the Egyptians. On the other side, light. Wow, you did that. God, that's your presence. That's right. He said that. That's my presence. I go with you by the cloud by day, the fire by night. You follow my lead when I go, when I stop, etc., etc. Now, so you're going to be an iron pillar. That's right. So your wonderful, wonderful presence. And so all the weapons and all the fire and all the other things, what are they going to do? You can't burn. What are you going to do to a column of iron? Wow. With your iron sword? With your iron chariot? What are you going to do? Nothing. God, you are going to be, Jeremiah is going to be a defense city, and Jeremiah is going to be an iron pillar. And God, the defense city, and God says, if you'd like, I'll introduce myself. I am that city. And if you want to know about the pillar of iron, Jeremiah, I am that pillar of iron. My wonderful presence. I am going to be your God and Savior in a very spectacular way, so that no matter who, what, when, where, whatever, you're untouchable. You can't get you. They're going to put you in prison? They're going to try all kinds of things. Hang on. Let me get there. Now, back over, if you would, please, to Jeremiah chapter 1. And Jeremiah chapter 1, picking up in thought, had a defense city, an iron pillar, and brazen walls. Now remember, military, iron weapons, bronze, copper, and tin, strongest metal then, was what they wore. Goliath had what? Bronze helmet, bronze big chest with a 200-pound jacket. Wow. Bronze, okay? So God, you made an iron pillar. That's against the weaponry. No one's going to get you. No one can do it. They'll come and hit you, but won't hurt. Now, and verse 18, and brazen walls against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, against the princes thereof, against the priests thereof, against the people of the land. Who's left? Nobody. Jeremiah, who is going to be your friend? No one. Who can you look to? No one. Where are you going to find encouragement? You aren't. Where are you going to find anybody that will agree with you? You aren't. Be of good cheer. I send you forth. And don't be discouraged. A little later, I'm going to send my son, just like that, to the cross. So don't be discouraged. Now, over the walls, brazen walls, bronze walls, and that's what they're going to be. Now, having looked at that, we want to get that one. Over to Isaiah. Isaiah, if I can, in chapter 26. In the millennium. Now remember, when they went to in Joshua conquering the land, the walls of the cities were very, like Jericho, double walls, and high walls, and they just took them. Israel just conquered them all. Wow. But Jeremiah, here you are having to deal with God's people that aren't with it. So what do we do? Well, God, you're going to go, and you're going to make them brazen, make Jeremiah a brazen wall, among other things. Chapter 26, verse 1, in the millennium. In that day shall this song be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. Salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks. Now, so what kind of wall have we got? We've got it looking here around the wall, but you can't see it. You can't touch it. How do you touch it? How do you touch right now God's wonderful protection of you? How do you do it? You can't. God, you're going to surround your city in the millennium. You're going to surround it with a wall. That is, I'm going to put my saving grace all around it. That's what I'm going to do. Jeremiah, I'm going to make you walls. Walls. I'm going to make you a wall. I'm going to surround you with my wonderful person. Okay, let me keep going. You'll catch it. Wow. Over, if you would, chapter 49. Chapter 49. And may I pick up? We did it the other day, touched on it. Verse 15, 49:15. Can a woman forget her sucking child that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet, said God, I will not forget thee. Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Thy walls are continually before me. God, are you paying attention to Jeremiah? You are a brazen wall, and I'm always conscious of your person. Always. Could I get lost, God, and not find me? You don't know where I am? Nope, I always know. I always know where you are. Now, thus, over, if you would please, to chapter 60. We were there again, verse 18. You'll catch it. Violence shall no more be heard in thy land, wasting nor destruction within thy borders. But thou shalt call thy walls salvation and gates praise. What are you going to call this protection? God's saving grace. That's what I'm going to do. I get saved. God, and something wonderful happened. Zechariah chapter 2. And you'll catch it. Chapter 2, picking up in verse 4. God going to bring that city of Jerusalem back, etc. And in chapter 2, verse 4. I'll read verse 3. And behold, the angel that talked with me went forth, and another angel went out to meet him, and said unto him, run, speak to this young man, saying, Jerusalem shall be inhabited as towns without walls for the multitude of men and cattle therein. I'm going to make a town, the word town without walls is one word. It means an open open field, an open city, no wall around. Cities had walls. This is an open vicinity, open town, open, no walls. Next verse, 4. 4. I saith the Lord, will be unto her a wall of fire round about, and will be the glory in the midst of her. I will be the wall. I'm the wall. And the peace of God, which what? Passes all understanding. Philippians 4:7. Let's see it get through there. Let's see it get to you through my peace. And it can't. That's why verse 6 says, don't worry. Stop. It's a command. Stop worrying. Stop. And let the peace of God, it's surrounding you, keeping you. Nothing can get through it. Everything is there for in all of its reality, in all of its horror, in all of its terribleness, in all of its lousiness. It's there. But it isn't going to get you and put you out of business. You represent me, my presence. You're a defense city, an iron pillar, a brazen wall, brass, bronze wall, I should say. Wow. Now, God, here we are looking at all of that. And back over, if you would, to Jeremiah chapter 1. In Jeremiah chapter 1, remember now he's all alone, so he hasn't started yet, but he's told what it's going to be, and God said, I'm going to be for you, not against you. And everyone is going to be against you except me. So who are you going to choose? Are you going to try to be on their side or my side? Take your pick. Whose side are you going to be on? I say, well, what about, well, it's family, friends, and enemies, and everybody. No, I want to know which side. Are you going to be on my side or their side? Simple as that. Either you're going to be on the side of the flesh, humans, or on my side, God. Take your pick. And you have to make a choice. And it wouldn't matter anything else anywhere. We're going to look to God. I'm sorry. And that's what we do. Now, and so here's Jeremiah, and in chapter 1, and in verse, remember, everyone's against him. Verse 19, and they shall fight against thee, but they shall not prevail. They're going to fight against you. They're going to be, all these people are going to be aggressive. And that's what we got in our country and all over the place, actually. Aggressive, 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 trying to stop. God, here's our world. And they shall fight against thee, but they shall not prevail. They're not going to be able to overcome. They're not going to be able to have the power to be able to stop anything, to change anything. No. And why not? Verse 19, for I am with thee, saith the Lord, to deliver thee. I'm with thee to deliver thee. And the word deliver is causative. I am here to cause your make happen your deliverance. And the word deliver is to snatch and reach down and grab so you can't get it. That's what's going to happen at the rapture. God is going to snatch us up. Let's say that. Wow. So God, here we are. And Jeremiah, that's how you start off. It's a wonderful thing. On you go. Now, in the light of time, we'll have to change a couple of things. Would you go with me, please? Oh, over to Isaiah 41. Isaiah chapter 41. Now, Jeremiah is told God is going to be to him in his wonderful person and presence everything that he needs, and protection, provision, to fulfill the will of God, the word of God. Wow. So here's Isaiah 41. And speaking to Israel as a nation, which they don't listen to, Jeremiah is going to know it. They aren't going to know it at all. Verse 41, Verse 8, but thou, Israel, art my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, the seed of Abraham, my friend. Now, slide down to verse 10. Fear not thou, for I am with thee. That's what he just said to Jeremiah. Be not dismayed. Why? For I am thy God. And after all, God versus creation, God always wins. And I will strengthen thee, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. That's what I'm going to do. And by the way, remember, wonderful verse 13, for I, the Lord, thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee. Fear not, thou worm, Jacob, and ye men of Israel, I will help thee, saith the Lord. Now, God, what kind of God are you that holds a worm by the right hand? I'll hold you, worm, by my right hand. You have to have something going. It does. God said, you're flesh and made of the grass of the field, and I am your creator. And I want you to know I have a wonderful purpose in even having you born in the first place. Just to be born is an awesome thing. So we get all caught up in everything, and we lose that. Now, hang on to that. Now, having said that, Over to Psalm 1, 2, 3. Psalm 31. And we'll do, it's a fortified city, an iron pillar, a brazen wall, wow, bronze wall. Wow. Psalm 31, and if I may, you know it, but it'll hit the target right off. 31:19. Oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee. We just went through that in Isaiah. Which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men. Verse 20. Thou shalt hide them where? Where? Behind what kind of wall? What kind of what? Thou shalt hide them in the secret of thy presence. Now, that's, you have to think about that. We just did it. Jeremiah, what makes you going to be so successful when everything is against you having anything? Because God is for you. And therefore, and he's going to be his personal presence. Now, are you going to punch? I'm against God. I hate God. Well, let's see you punch him in the nose. Ready? We'll all punch him at once. Say what you want against him. You can try that. You're not going to touch God. God can touch you, but you aren't going to touch God. The only way they try to touch God is by Israel. The only way they touch God is by touching the church, not our churches, his church. When they touch believers that are believers, that's when he got them. Wow. So God, in the secret of thy presence from the pride of men, thou shalt keep them secretly in the pavilion from the strife of tongue. God, you're going to do that. That's right. That's how it's going to be. And over to, if you would, chapter 27. And David, again, remember now, Jeremiah has wonderful protection. And David, I'm interested how you did. Chapter 27, Psalm 27, verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? You can't be. Hold it, Jeremiah. Don't be afraid. It's overwhelming. Don't be afraid. Think of the psalm. If the whole land opens up and swallows everything, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. That's what I'm looking for. You don't have to be afraid. But I got to... No, don't be afraid. Trust me. Now, verse 2. When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, a whole army, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. What is that? In one thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble, verse 5, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle, he shall hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. I'm going to be a defense city, an iron pillar, a brazen walls. God said, that's what I'm going to be to you, Jeremiah. So be of good cheer. Who on earth is going to hit this city? Who's going to tackle this iron? Who's going to knock down these walls? They're mine. They're mine. My saving grace to you. Do you understand? Just do it a thousand ways. Do you understand? When you get truly, truly saved, now a whole lot of other stuff is not solid enough. But if you truly know the Lord as your Savior, you've got to be on his side. Is there anything that can take away your salvation? No. No. The devil can't do it. Sin can't do it. Nothing can take it away. God, you've locked it in. That's right. And you'll receive me as your Savior. Now, how much of my presence? Jeremiah had my confidential, secure, confident, secure presence. He was safe as could be in the midst of terrible things. He was safe as could be. Do you know? Now, God, I'm way ahead of Jeremiah, and so are you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. No, can't do better than that, no matter how you cut the cookie. So, I will fight. And in chapter 27, verse 5. Now, we share that. One other place, if I can, over to Psalm 32. Psalm 32. And it's all about Jeremiah having the wonderful God-given assurance twice. God repeated it to him. He said, did you understand what I told you the first time? Now, don't lose it. That's wonderful. Who do I have as an ally? You. Who do I have as a companion? Who do I have for, where am I going to get my, your weapons are not carnal? 2 Corinthians 10:4. They aren't carnal weapons. You can't put your finger on what I do. I am who I am. I protect you. I'm around you. You're either going to trust me and let me work out my will for your life, or you're not. But understand, I am there. I'm able to do it quite wonderfully. And there's no accidents. There's no chance. It isn't going to happen. No fate. Destiny? No. No. God has done something wonderful. He has given you his wonderful person to enjoy his wonderful life. For how long? Forever. When did he do that? The moment you received him as your Savior. Now, Psalm 32 in closing. I'll pick it up, if I can, in verse 5. I acknowledge my sin unto thee. Mine iniquity have I not hid. I said I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. And here's David way back before the cross confessing. He isn't asking God, would you please forgive me? He's understanding God is going to forgive him. And he said, God, I'm going to do the confessing, 1 John 1:9, and you're going to do the forgiving. That's what it's going to be. And here's David. And verse 6, for this shall everyone that is godly, that's us, hope, Pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. Surely in the floods of great waters they shall not come nigh unto him. Thou art my hiding place. That's right. The secret of thy presence. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about, surround me like a city. Walls, brazen walls, surrounding the city. Huh? Surrounding the city. Now, verse 7. Thou shalt compass me, surround me, the city, with songs of deliverance. God, are you going to rescue me? He is. He said, I'm all there. And as you go down the corridor of time, here I am. I have all these different tunes, songs. As you go down, and I'm going to let you know, each one of them will voice and vocalize, as it were, your wonderful journey. As you go down the corridor of time, I'm surrounding you with my salvation, with my presence. I'm going to support you, and I want you to know that no one, nothing anyway. If I want you to get clipped, you're going to get clipped. But be of good cheer. That isn't an issue for you. If I take your life, allow the bad guy to cut off your head. And I think of that sometimes. What happens if the Iranians want to come over and practice? And they come over, and you know, and you put your head down. And I try to think of that, and I do. I think I put my head down all right. I would, because it's fast, especially a sharp sword. You know, you can't, without a head, how are you going to feel anything? You know, come on. So, wow. And God, if you want that, absolutely, God, if you want that. Whatever you want, mumps, disease, whatever. God, I'm looking for your will. And in the middle of it all, I'm going to be more than a conqueror. I'm going to win. I'm not going to lose. God, what am I going to look for? Where's my protection? You, God, are our protection. Wow. And no one pays attention to you, God, and your wonderful purpose and protection. No one does that. We don't even do it. How do we protect our body from physical things and germs and disease and bacteria and everything going on in our little life, physically, let alone anything else? And God, only you do that. That's right. You're bought with a price. Honor me. I want to know, make sure you're on my side, Jeremiah. I don't want you on someone else's side. You represent me, no one else. Family, friends, enemies, no one else.